book of Mark, chapter number 12. That's what it's all about. Christ alone. I think if we could ever get that into our hearts, instead of just in our mouths or in our heads, if we could ever get that into our hearts, make a massive difference in our life. Mark chapter number 12, if you would, for the sake of time and by way of introduction, I just want to read verse number 37. We are going to read through the chapter as we preach the message and cover the rest of the chapter from verses 35 through 44. But I just want to read this one verse because the thought for this morning, I think the theme of this passage comes out of that verse. Mark chapter 12, verse 37, David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son? And now notice this phrase here is what this next sentence is, the thought for the morning. And the common people heard him gladly. And the common people heard him gladly. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning and I'm thankful for my Savior Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for Christ alone. I'm glad I have put my trust in you as my Savior. And I want to place my trust in you every day to lead me through my life. Lord, to lead me in this church, it's just a blessing to see what you've done here and what I believe you're continuing to do. I believe, Father, with all my heart that this is the little strawberry patch, the garden, the piece of ground that you've put me in my calling and for my life, and I'm thankful so much for it. Lord, I just enjoy being here. I like coming to church, Lord. I like being around these people. I like the spirit in our church. I like the fact, Lord, that it's just about the Bible. It's simple. It's not fancy. We're nothing special. But we sure got a special book in front of us this morning, and we got a special Savior. We got a Comforter who abides, and I'm thankful for it. I'm glad you hear prayer. I'm glad you answer. I'm glad you work miracles in our lives, Father, and you do. And you've worked miracles in our church. I thank you somehow this morning, Lord, since I've gotten here, you've already strengthened my faith and increased my vision, and I'm just thankful for that. And Lord, I want to just be a common man who hears Jesus. I want to just lower the goals and aspirations that I have for my own life. I want to lower the image of myself that seems to get out of control so much a time, Lord. And I want to just lower the expectations that I have on a physical and on a human level, and I want to raise them on a spiritual level. And Lord, I want to just hear you. I ask you to help me with that. I ask you to help all these people in this room with just that, Father, that this morning we may hear from God. That this morning our ears would be open, our hearts would be tender. And Father, especially if somebody is here today and not saved, I ask you, God, to deal with their heart. Help them to hear you. Help them to realize that they're lost and that you love them and that you're trying to speak to them. And Father, if you'll do these things, we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory that you deserve. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this verse, number 37, caught my attention. Because as I'm reading down there through the passage and just kind of mulling it over in my mind, trying to get ready to continue preaching through this book, it caught my attention. The common people heard him gladly. We've studied this out. We've been watching the storyline as the scribes and the Pharisees all kind of come after the Lord and try to trip him up and ask him all these questions. And their questions, as we talked about last week, are motivated by selfish reasons and selfish goals and selfish desires. They're trying to set the Lord up, and they all have a different reason for asking, but the basic motive of what they're trying to get at is pretty much common. It's just some kind of sin, some kind of self-justification. And then we've seen a man who was one of the scribes that asked a good question, and that's kind of what we concluded on last week. He said, which is the greatest commandment of all? And we know his question was sincere because of the way the Lord answered him compared to the way the Lord answered the others. There was no sarcasm. There was no cutting him down. There was no roadblocks. There was no, well, then neither will I tell you. There was none of that. There was a, hey, you know what? You're pretty close to the kingdom of God. He realized that the man's heart, even though the man was a scribe, his heart was open to the Lord and open to truth. And he was recognizing that the man he was speaking to is not just a normal man. There's something different about him. And he was recognizing the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord's answer to him was very different. Then we continue in the passage, and the Lord is in the temple in verse number 35, and he's teaching and he's asking questions. And the Bible tells us something very interesting after all of the negative that the Bible showed us. All the scribes and all the Pharisees and all the debating, all the argumentation that we've seen and the hard preaching that's come from this stuff. The Lord says something very short, very simple, but extremely profound. And it's something you would easily, reading your Bible, just overlook. It says, and the common people heard him gladly. Ain't that a blessing? If you stop and think about that a little bit, you know, we get in this mindset that everybody's against us and everybody's against God, and we're getting real close to that actually being true. But you know something? There are common people that hear him gladly still today. What I want to see is this. I want to notice that there's something greater about those common people that were mentioned for a very brief period of time than all the scribes, all the Pharisees, all the rich men who came to the Lord with a good heart and a good life and walked away because they love their riches more than they love the Lord. We saw that. Those who have the world in their hands, those who have a great future and lots of money and a good career, those with power, those in the temple that are the teachers, the scribes and the Pharisees, the men that everybody look up to, the ones who the people come and sit at their feet and say, teach me what you know. They just pale in significance when compared to one short statement. And the common people heard him gladly. Let me say this morning, that if I have to pick a mega church, a worldwide ministry, lots of books that sell in the millions and, you know, become some big shot in Jesus' name, or just a common man serving God, trying to live his life and love his family and love his church and study and preach and teach the Word of God. And if that meant that I heard from Jesus in the process, give me hearing from Jesus. I'd rather be a common man than a big shot. I'd rather be a common man than a rich man. I'd rather be a common man than a scribe. I'd rather be a common man than a Dr. Reagan. I'd rather be a common man that hears from Jesus Christ than to live a successful life and have it all. There's something profound about the common people heard him gladly. But I want you to notice something, though. The common man, you and I, first of all, we're going to kind of, you know, say that that means the middle class American, because we think like Americans. And I don't think you have to be a middle class man or a rich man or a poor man to be a common man. You know, there's no temptation taken you, the Bible says, but such as is what? Common to man. No temptation. You realize that you and I, even though we may have different backgrounds, different futures, we may live in totally different worlds, you and I got a lot in common. You know what I am? I'm a sinner. And before I met Jesus Christ, I was on my way to burn in the devil's hell for eternity. We all have one of three problems. All of our problems can be lumped into one of three areas. Family, amen, finances, and health. You know what you are? You're common. No, you don't understand, brother. I'm smart. I took an IQ test and I'm a genius. I'm not like everybody else around here. These people around here, hey, you're a common man. I don't care how smart you think you are. It does not take much to turn you into a dummy. You realize that? Look at how strong you are, how young you are, how influential and powerful you are. It wouldn't take much to put you in a wheelchair. It wouldn't take much to put you in a grave this morning. You're just a common man, whether you want to face it or not. The difference is some will realize that they're common. Some will realize, hey, I've been blessed beyond measure. God's been real good to me in my life, and I've and able to achieve things in the world other people haven't, but I'm still a common man. Others nowadays, this is a real hot topic in modern day America. The new celebrity is the poor. Amen. It's okay to say. The new celebrity is the poor. You know, Barack Obama should hand us everything. Because, you know, I need my rights and minimum wage should be raised and I have a right to be rich like everybody else. Shame on those rich people. Hey, you know what your problem is? You need to be a common man. Used to be back in the day, my grandparents' day, the poor man carried himself with some, excuse, this is wrong, I know, but just understand what I'm getting at. He carried himself with some pride. Amen. Yeah, I'll go to work. I'll go to work. I'll go to work. I'll go to work. Got work? You got work? You got work? Where's there some work I can get?
I'll stand all in line all day to get some work. My dad, my grandpa said, I don't take no charity. And I know it was his pride, but you know, there was something about that. He was a common man. Nowadays, we think God should either hand us something because, you know, we're so beat down and are so, my life and woe is me. Or on the other hand, we feel like everybody ought to bow to us because of our degrees or our education or our status in life and we're somehow better than the next guy. Those kind of people on both extremes won't hear from God because the root problem is pride. That's the issue. That's the problem. The common man who recognizes he's a common man and says, God, I need to hear from you today. He'll hear from the Lord. And that's what I want. I'd rather have 100 people in church and have God show up. I don't know about you, but if that song's being sung, I'm feeling the Lord in the room. And it ain't just because it's my wife singing either. It's because of the words. I'd rather have that than a fancy put-on show and a bunch of goats in there pretending like they're sheep and leaving and me up here having to tiptoe around the truth and be paranoid about who I offended and who I made mad and answer to the deacon board for that message. I mean, good night. Are you kidding me? Just shoot me now. Amen. I'd rather have God show up. I'd rather hear from the Lord in church. Let me ask you a question. What are you this morning? Do you recognize yourself as just being a common man that came to church on a Sunday morning because you needed something from God to get you through the week? I mean, that's all. I want to get something from God so I can walk out of these doors this morning better than I was when I came and closer to Jesus Christ. And in order for that, I need to hear from Him. I want you to see three ways that are just kind of in the passage here, and so that's all we're going to look at. And there's a lot more than what's just here, but since we preach chapter by chapter and verse by verse expositorily through the Bible, we'll look at what's in the chapter. There's three ways this morning that you and I need to hear from Jesus Christ. The first way is in the Scriptures. Jesus answered and said, while He taught in the temple, "How say the scribes that Christ is the Son of David?" Now watch in verse number 36, Jesus Christ quotes Psalms 110, verse number 1. "For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself called him Lord, and whence is he then his son?" And then it says, "And then the common people heard him gladly." You know what Jesus Christ just did? He opened up a passage of Scripture that was really hard to understand and hard to answer. And He laid it out there for him and asked him a question. When you go to the Bible, do you just see nothing but mistakes? You want to know what the devil has done nowadays in churches? He's taken the faith and the Word of God out of the preacher's heart, out of the scribe's heart, because the scribes see nothing but errors and mistakes in the Bible. So then that lack of faith has transferred to the pews in our culture and in our nation. Now God's people, even if they're the ones that do get saved, sit in the pews and they can't be sure that they actually have the words of God. And if you can't be sure that you actually have the words of God, what in the world makes you think you're hearing from Jesus Christ? If you don't know you got His words in your lap, you can't know you're hearing from Him. "Well, God spoke to my heart this morning." "How do you know?" "Well, you know, it was really good." "Yeah, I know, but you don't believe you got a perfect Bible, so how are you sure the part God spoke to you from is actually God speaking?" You know what Jesus did? He asked him a tough question. The scribes couldn't answer it. You know what He was trying to show the people? He's trying to show the people their faith ought to be in the Word of God and not in the scribes, because Jesus had the answer, didn't He? You think Jesus Christ was stumped by this statement? "David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." He said, "David therefore himself called him Lord, and whence is he then his son?" Isn't Jesus Christ the son of David? You got a problem with that? I don't got a problem with that, do you? The scribes couldn't get it. You know why they couldn't get it? They don't hear from Jesus when they open up their Bible. We were talking before church and asking some questions about some evangelistic thing that's taking place somewhere out east or whatever. And the question really was, you know, with this whole context and the way they're going about things and the way that they don't have the Bible and they don't preach the gospel straight and all that kind of stuff, all the self-help talks and all that kind of thing, rather than Bible preaching, are people really getting saved? Is something really getting done? And the answer to that question is, I'm not even sure, to be honest with you. I'm not even sure something's getting done. Nowadays, the preachers don't even believe the Bible that they're opening up to preach. How can you give somebody an answer for the hard questions that come up when you don't even know the questions? You don't even know the book. I told him, I said, brother, they spent all these years studying the Bible and preaching and theology, going through the theology classes and all that stuff to come to conclusions about something that they believe. And the fact of the matter is, 9 times out of 10, in my very sad observation, most of the preachers in America don't even read their Bibles every day. I'm not just spouting off this morning, and I can't give you names and illustrations and places and dates and times, because that's not fair or right. They'll answer to God, not me. But I'm telling you the truth. The people in the pews don't read their Bible every day, and it's because the preachers don't. I've been in the churches and walked by the media rooms where 5 or 6 people are preparing the preacher's message for Sunday. He ain't hearing from God. He's sitting down with his sermon team and saying, this is my thought and this is the series that we're on that was planned, you know, a year in advance. This is the series we're on, and this is the subject matter for this week. So get me together some fancy slides and find some U2 songs you can turn into Christian stuff and make sure that this is entertaining and fancy and exciting, but they're not hearing from God. They don't believe the book they got. You know what you and I need this morning? We need to hear from God. You know what my greatest fear is? Amos 8:11. Don't turn there for the sake of time. Amos 8:11. The Lord says this, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. You know what day and age we're in? It is a famine. There is people out there that are hungry for truth that don't even know they're hungry for it. They're starving spiritually. And they've been told, well, the Bible's copies of copies of copies, and there's this problem, there's that problem, there's this mistake. How could David call him the Lord if he was his Lord? How come David said, my Lord, if he's the son of David? That doesn't make sense, and that doesn't add up, and that's logically not there, and that can't be it. So therefore, you know, throw the Bible out. And, you know, there's a lot of good in the Bible, and there's good weaved through the Bible, and the message is the same. And so, you know, let's just do our best to kind of decipher what's right and what's not right. We better trust the scribes and Pharisees. And you know what they are? They're starving. You say, are they Christians, preachers? Sure they are. Many of them, if they trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they're on their way to heaven. But how would you feel if you had to eat out of garbage cans every week? Now, there's some truth in those Bibles. Sure there is. There's some good stuff in the dumpster behind McDonald's up there at Grand River and Wixom Road. I guarantee you, you go in that dumpster after work, after they close, you can find some stuff in there you can survive on. But really, do you want that? That's what America's feasting on, spiritually. There's a famine in the land. Hey, I'm thankful that I got a book. I'm thankful that I can hear from God. I'm thankful that there's answers to my questions. You know what the problem is? I'll show you the problem. Go back to Isaiah chapter number 29, please. Isaiah chapter 29. Easy book to find because it's so large. You split your Bible in half there and you should kind of fall upon it. Isaiah chapter number 29. Look at verse number 6. I'm sorry, look at verse number 9. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their precept toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. You know what you see happening in America today? That right there taking place before your eyes.
You say, what's the problem, preacher? Well, they're delivering the book to the one that's learned. The scholars and the preachers and the Bible college professors. Hey, preacher, you know, show us the Bible. The originals say, and when a guy says that, all he's trying to tell you is, I can't figure out what the English says. That's all he's saying. I'm not trying to be mean, but when a guy says in the original this word is, he's telling you, I don't understand the English God gave me. If a man doesn't understand English, why are you going to listen to what he has to say about a dead language that's Greek of all languages? Good night. I took 3 semesters of it. I had Greek 1, Greek 2, and Greek 3. I told you that before. I thought I remembered getting great grades. I got B's in Greek 1. I got my transcripts. I was getting ready to go on for my master's now, and I got my transcripts. And I was a little bit disappointed, but then joy flooded my heart. The first one, I got B in Greek 1. That's okay. I got a D in Greek 2. I got a B in Greek 3. I said, that makes no sense. A B, D, B? I mean, come on, that is just absolutely makes no sense. And then it dawned on me. I said, honey, what year did you come to Crown? She showed up in Greek 2. It's her fault. And I actually remember sitting there and she was going, I remember a conversation. We were sitting on the porch at the picnic tables by the bookstore. And she said, don't you have to study? I said, I am. All them little, you see them little idiots walking by with their big 3-ring binder and all the little cards and they're memorizing their vocab words, you know, and they're walking around trying to show off to everybody they're a pastoral theology major and they're in Greek. And I got my 3-ring binder like he made us all do, and I had that, and I'm just like, yeah, right. When she's sitting there, are you kidding me? You know what they're trying to tell you? And Greek is brutal. It's not easy. It's brutal. Now, how are you going to trust a guy to study a language that's that difficult to understand anyhow? That's a dead language, not spoken anywhere on the planet today, so there's not really any authority that you can go to and say, are we getting all this 100% right? Because it's not spoken anywhere on the planet and hasn't been for centuries. And they're going to run to that where there's really, in all honesty, there's no final authority or absolute accountability with that to explain the English. But you know what the problem, the English, I mean, English isn't that hard. If you struggle with Old English, we need a better language that's easier. You struggle with Old English, you're telling me you're going to Greek and you're the master on what God said? You know what the problem is? The problem is you don't understand the book in front of you because the learned said, hey, this is a sealed book. It is a sealed book. Did you know that this morning? That's God's book. It's got the seal of God on it, and it takes God to open it. You got to hear from God to understand your Bible. On the other hand, I hear it all the time. Well, you know, I only made it to 6th grade. How many of you felt like God spoke to your heart last Sunday night that we're here? Was that a good message or what? That was incredible, man. I mean, I told him too. I was incredible. Thank you. That was a blessing. You know where he stopped in school? Last passing grade, 6th grade. He's got 1 bachelor's degree. He's working on another bachelor's degree. And he plans on going on eventually and getting a master's degree. But he stopped at 6th grade. What's your excuse? You know what the answer is? It's not I am learned. I'm unlearned. You know what the answer is? It's a sealed book. It takes God to open it. God says, I'll close you down. I'll shut you down. You don't want to hear. You don't want to hear what I have to say. You don't want to follow my laws. You don't want to live by my standards. You don't want to have marry a wife and stay with that woman your life. I mean, a man and a woman, not a man and a man, not a woman and a woman. I don't care what kind of laws they pass in Detroit or anywhere else. I don't care what the federal government says, the state government says. God said it's wrong. You don't want to listen. I'll send you a famine. You won't even be able to find a Bible-believing church. How do you like that? God will give them what they want. And the thing is, they got everything on the planet. All the money, all the power, all the joy, all the dope, all the alcohol, all the fornication, all the pornography, all the anything and everything your flesh wants. The devil will give it to you and God will let you have it. And they won't find joy, satisfaction, power. They won't find anything worth living for. Oh, if I could just get rock star status. Yeah, do you see how many of them men die young? How many of them women die young? You ever see how miserable they are? They can't even keep a relationship together. One week they're madly in love and they're getting married. And the next week it's all over the news. They bust it up again. They're dysfunctional. Because they don't have the word of God. They ain't no better or worse than you. I'll say that again. They ain't no better or worse than you. They got everything the world has to offer, and they're dysfunctional. Why? Because they can't hear the Word of God. Boy, you know what I need this morning? I need to hear what He's saying to me. I need to hear what He's saying. He says they draw near me in Isaiah 29 with their lips and with their mouth, but their heart far from me. So they base their doctrines on the precept of men. Their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men. Oh, I better go to confessional and confess my sins and then go say my Hail Mary is full of grapes. I said it on purpose. It's okay. Their fear of God is based on what a man tells them to do instead of what the book says. That's why I can say Hail Mary full of grapes and God doesn't strike me dead. Because that ain't in the book. That's the precept of men. Amen. Their fear toward me is based on what a man said instead of what God had to say. And He said, now they're a mess. I just let them go. I'll do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish. You see these idiots now trying to put all this stuff out about new evidence or something on the Big Bang Theory proving there is a God. And yeah, I mean, come on, any thinking adult, normal person that's not completely burnt out on drugs would look at that and go, yep, they don't know what they're talking about. Now he's got all those degrees. Who cares about all of his degrees if he's a moron? Amen? The education system is actually, it's a joke anyhow. He says, I'll turn the wisdom of their wise, I'll make them fools. And you're seeing it happen. You know what God's doing to this country? I believe with all my heart, He's bringing her right to the precipice. And He's about to kick her off. And I think if God's people will wake up, because there's more of us out there than you think there is. Elijah said, I'm alone. God said, oh, quit whining, man. I got 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal or worshipped His image. Stay faithful. You don't know what I'm doing. Just do right. There's more of us out there than you and I realize. So if we'll wake up, not the world, they're not going to wake up. Those lesbians and homosexuals, all the rest, they're not going to wake up. You and I need to wake up. You and I need to hear from God. You and I need to get busy witnessing and winning souls to Jesus Christ. And if we go and we win them to Jesus Christ, they can repent of their sin and they can join our forces and go out there and get somebody else like them and bring them in and get them saved and get them changed and go out there and do it again. Hey, God's command hasn't gone away. He said, hey, keep on doing this till I come. We're supposed to be about the gospel of Jesus Christ, aren't we? If we'll hear what He said and go do it, that's the only hope for this nation. You ever notice the people voted? All these Christians, and I mean, I had them mad at me on Facebook and everything else. That's why I'm just not even going on anymore. Grace posted a picture of our puppy. There's like 50 likes or something. I said, good night, man. She said, yeah, when you don't post, people are like, oh, look, they're alive. You know, I'm done with the stinking things. Every time I say anything, I get bombarded by all the believers. All the going on about going out and vote, going out and vote, going out and vote, and they spend all their time and all their energy and trying to get people to go vote, go vote, go vote. You vote, and then they do whatever they want after you voted. Did you notice that? The people of Michigan spoke. They don't care what you said. It's the way you patronize your children to keep them happy. You know what you and I should do? We should put the same effort and energy into preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and getting out there and reaching lost people for Jesus Christ that we put into politics or any of the rest of that stuff, arguing about all that junk with lost people at work like it even stinking matters. We should put the same effort, energy, and concentration into studying God's Word, hearing from God, and then going to tell other people about Him, and that might make a difference. But the rest of this stuff is a joke. God's got her right on the edge, and He's about to kick her off. You say, how do you know that, preacher? When a nation starts passing all this gay rights and all that kind of stuff, God will judge her. God will put her down. You can't shed the blood of unborn children like we have as long as we've done it and think God's not going to put a stop to that. God's blessing is gone on America. Al, what are you talking about, preacher? This joke, I'm talking about this joke going on in Russia. I mean, vote for Reagan, amen? Amen. I mean, I like the old one, but if you want to vote for me, that'd be fine too. I'd be glad to step in. There's only one way to handle these guys. We're going to talk.
Let's talk. Let's talk. You ever watch Putin? I love watching Putin. I can't stand him. I mean, I can't stand him. I think him and his armies need to be obliterated. All right, just so you know, I'm red-blooded American. I bleed red, white, and blue. Cut me and you'll see. Really, I'm serious. I'm very patriotic. But I love watching Putin compared to Obama. You see him sitting there, you know, Putin's like, kid, I'll cut your throat. I just love to cut your throat. I just got you right here on national television. And Obama's over there. Watch their body language. Watch the body language of your president with the Pope. Did anybody see that? Did you see the body language? Who's in charge? Putin's in charge, number one, and the Pope's in charge, number two. And Obama's a pawn. Because God's given America what it wants. And he's gutting our military while he's ramping his up. He's not an imminent threat to us. So you know what the American attitude is nowadays? Oh, well. Not a threat to us. So we'll sell out our friends and we'll sell out everything. We'll sell out our allies. Why? Because God's bringing her to her knees. And the wisdom and power of a once great nation you're watching go away. And I guarantee you I know the root of the whole problem. The root of the whole problem has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with preachers. That's the problem. America hasn't seen any great preachers that it opened its ears up to in 50 to 100 years. And we've thrown away the Word of God, and we've kicked God out of everything, and we're trying to kick him out of more and more and more. So our marriages are falling apart. Our children are committing suicide. Our little girls are getting pregnant at younger and younger ages. Our young men are on heroin. Our elementary kids are smoking pot. We're shot. And it's because we shut our ears off to what God had to say. Now that's easy to preach, right? Because amen, amen, preacher, amen, America, America, America. What about your home? What about you? What about your marriage? What about your children? You know what you need? You need ears opened up to hear what God has to say. Instead of looking at the Bible and saying, wow, that looks like a tough answer, why don't you look for Christ in the Bible? Because if you look for Christ in the Bible, you'll have your answer. You know what the answer was back in Mark 12, please, yes. I had a bunch of references running through my mind at one time. Mark 12, please. You know what the answer was? It's simple. It's laid out multiple times in the Bible. Jesus Christ proved it. It was obvious to anybody who would open their eyes and see it. Jesus Christ was God. He was David's Lord because he came from the line of David, Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1, Romans chapter number 1. It's all the way through your Bible. Of the seed of David. He came through the line of David. He was a Jew. He had a right to the throne of Israel. And at the same time, he was conceived by the Virgin Mary, by the Holy Ghost of God, in the womb of Mary. Easy. Easy to anybody who will open up their ears and hear it. I don't have to convince you of that this morning, that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Oh, that's absurd, preacher. You believe in miracles. Oh, that's just crazy. Oh, I know, that's really weird. That's about as crazy as a Big Bang creating you and I. You can believe that junk. But you can't believe that a 50% miracle. Hey, it's not miraculous for a woman to have a child in her womb, is it? It's just miraculous for her to have one without a man. What's so tough about that compared to a Big Bang? I'm just showing you the absurdity that God shows. God just shows the absurdity. So when the lost world and your friends at work and your atheist acquaintances try to make fun of you for believing in Jesus Christ, put it right back in their face that they're being hypocritical because they got faith too. And their faith is actually greater than yours. The difference is their faith is in their flesh, in their intellect, and in their scholars. Your faith is in God and what He said. So don't feel degraded. Don't let them put you down. Just open your ears up to God and let it go. Amen. We need to hear from God in the Scriptures. It takes a humble heart. Verse 37, the common people heard him gladly. My friends, let me tell you something. We're fixing to start a Bible Institute around here. And I'm looking forward to it. You know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid of a bunch of scribes walking around. We know the Bible. We know the Bible. We're learning the Bible. We're learning the Bible. And you realize that that gets you absolutely nowhere if it doesn't come from here. You know what it takes to really know your Bible? It takes a humble heart. It doesn't take a Bible Institute.
It doesn't take a high IQ. It doesn't take degrees. It takes knees down before God, saying, God, I need to hear from you. God, please open this thing up. God, if you don't open up this book, it doesn't matter what I learn about preparation and delivery. It doesn't matter how many illustrations I weave in or how good of a teacher I am or I'm not. It doesn't matter how funny I am. It doesn't matter how much people laugh or cry, whether they shout or say, oh, it's me. It doesn't make a bit of difference, Lord. If you don't open this thing up to me, it's vain. You could all leave here saying, oh, that was a great message. That was a great message. That was a great message with no touch from God. And it was an absolute stinking failure. I might as well resign and go be a public speaker. Or God can touch it. And it can hit the heart, not the head. And you can leave here changed going, I hate that preacher. I feel terrible. Every time I go there, I'm under conviction. He needs to back it off a little bit. I feel so bad. How come I always feel, he's always beating us down all the time. Maybe God's speaking to your heart. Hey, I'd rather have God show up. I'd rather have the thing in my heart than in my head. Tired of head knowledge. It doesn't get anywhere. I was sitting the other day at a sporting goods store trying to pick out shoes for my wife. The shoes she has, she ran through two pregnancies with them. She's had them about 6 years. They got about 3,000 miles on them or something like that. That's an exaggeration, but a lot. So we're in there picking out new shoes. And I'm sitting there because I'm bored out of my mind, you know. And she's like, what about these and those? And I'm like, I can see his price tags. I don't know. And I guess they're different. And they're definitely different, you know, the different supports for different kind of feet and all this stuff. And the guy that was there is very knowledgeable, mid-40s, very knowledgeable, good guy. And he came over and he's trying to help us out. He seemed very professional. And I'm just sitting there. He looked at her shirt. She had the Bible Believer shirt on, Something Still Missing, the black shirt with, you know, the white name and the logo. And he said, what church is that? She said, Bible Believer's Church. My husband's the pastor. He said, oh, man, it's so good to meet another brother. He said, I actually lost my job a couple years ago, and I'm here just because I need to show my kids that I'm not sitting home crying about it. I'm going out trying to do something. I need to be a good example to them. It's the only reason I'm even here. And he said, you wouldn't believe what I put up with all the time. He said, so good to meet another brother. And I said, well, praise the Lord. You know, I smiled. He told me what church he goes to. He's a Presbyterian. And I shook his hand, you know, and he said, you know, it just seems like there's less and less of us nowadays. I said, well, brother, remember Elijah? He said, huh? I said, remember Elijah? He told God, I know I'm left alone. And God said, no, I still have 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal nor worshipped his image. And he said, he walked over. I need to talk to you. Now, you know, this is my point. The Lord hit me. I was sitting there and the Lord hit me. Because you could see it in his face, in his body language. He's a professional guy. He was well-dressed and he was a nice guy. He wasn't a fool. And the Lord hit me. I could have taken a different approach. You know, what church do you go to? Oh, I know they don't believe the King James Bible. Actually, I know for a fact of the matter that their preacher got in the pulpit and mocked the King James Bible recently. He actually said something like, you know, if you have anything but a King James Bible, open it, and then made fun of the King James Bible for whatever reason from the pulpit. I also know they're Calvinists. You know what? That's all in my head. And I could have come at that brother with, well, you need to be in a church of sound doctrine. I could have come after him with head to head. But instead, the Lord connected us in the heart. You know, it's more important than what I know here. It's what I got here. And if I can reach him from here to there, then maybe God can get his head. Those scribes had a lot in their head, but they didn't have Jesus in their heart. Put Jesus first. Second lesson we learn is in verse number 38. Through 40. He said unto them in his doctrine, he's talking to the common people now, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. You know what you and I need to learn from the Lord, hear from the Lord about? We need to hear from the Lord about our spiritual leadership. He said, beware of the scribes. You need to be careful about who you listen to. You can turn on the radio and you can hear all kinds of preachers. I mean, all kinds of them. I want to name this one guy because his name's in my head, but I don't want to falsely accuse him because I could be confusing him with somebody else. If I had for sure the right guy nailed down, I'd name him because his doctrine is that dangerous. But I don't want to name him. But there's one guy out here on the radio a lot talks about how as a Christian, you don't need to ask the Lord to forgive you for sins you commit. Because God says, what sin? It's all under the blood. He's a hyper-dispensationalist. And he's dangerous. Because what he does is he encourages Christians to go live however they want because they're saved. You watch out for them. You hear sovereign grace. Grace churches, watch out for them. 9 times out of 10, they're Calvinistic Baptists. That's what they are. And what they try to tell you is that you can't get saved unless you're one of God's picked, God's elected, God's anointed for that thing. That's a very dangerous doctrine. Because Jesus said, whosoever will may come. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, it's because you don't hear what Jesus said. Jesus said, come and I'll save you. That's all it is. It's just that simple. Come on, I'll save you. Come. Whosoever will may come. If you want to come, come. If you don't want to come, go. Good, go. You can walk out these doors, get T-boned on the way out of here, die and go to hell. That's your choice. Jesus Christ is a gentleman. He's not going to force you, and I'm not going to force you, and I'm not going to manipulate you. I'll tell you the truth. If you're not saved this morning, it's because you have not heard Jesus Christ as he called out to you and tried to reach you. You ignored him and shut off your ears. You're not hearing from God. That's your problem. That's it. These sovereign grace preachers, they'll preach, you know, that people will call out to God and ask God to save them and all this kind of stuff. And if they're not part of the elect, God won't save them. That's foolishness. Be careful what you listen to. On the flip side, you know, nowadays a great movement of the devil has been the media and the mass media of religion. You can stay home from church and just turn on TV. I go to church in my living room, hearing that all the time. Uh-oh, I got a sniffle. I guess I'll stay home and listen online. Hey, shame on you. Now, if you're really sick or your kid's sick and you can tune in, praise God for that. Amen? That's better than nothing. But you miss out on a lot by not being here. And the problem is you can turn out just about anything and you can hear just about any kind of preacher preaching any kind of doctrine that'll make you feel good. Oh, I just feel so great when I talk, when I listen to him. I talked to somebody recently. I mean, guy's up in his 50s, man, and still living like a 20-year-old. Single, heading down the road, some of you are, you know, just smoking pot in this life, you know, work, smoke pot, drink, go back to work, smoke pot, drink. That's my life. Play video games. I mean, I'm sorry, but this stuff needs to be said, you guys, because we're getting so stupid about this stuff. It's not even funny. It's becoming so publicly accepted now. Like, you're the weirdo if you don't smoke pot. You're not a little half-baked, you know, something's wrong with you. I'm tired of it. So I said, oh, I was watching Joel Osteen, and you know what he said was so good and made me feel so much better. And yeah, the devil moved into your living room. Praise God, you heard from a false spirit. Because it encouraged you to continue in your lifestyle. Encouraged you to just keep on doing what you're doing and continuing your wasteful, destructive, and ungodly habits. You didn't hear from God. You heard from a scribe, and Jesus said, beware of them. Why? Because they got a pretense. Dude, I mean, if you got to go get your eyelashes done every other week, that's not the guy I'm going to listen to. I guarantee you that's a perm, you know. And if it's not, he grows it out just right and spends some time combing that thing. Ridiculous. Beware of them. They like to go in long robes. You know what religion will do? It'll give you a list of standards and say, if you'll do these things, you've arrived, you've achieved. And if you're not doing these things, you're not right with God. They like to go in long robes, and they like their cheap seats in the marketplaces. They want to be recognized and called doctor. That makes me sick. I cannot imagine, if I ever do go on to get a doctor's degree, I cannot imagine people calling me Dr. Reagan around here. Do I look like a Dr. Reagan to any of you? I'm not even a nurse, amen? Let alone a doctor. I just think of that. Just turns my stomach thinking about it. Like, I like Pastor Mike. I like that. And Brother Mike. I mean, Dr. Reagan. Like, really? It's kind of a joke, you know. If you want, if I'm going to be called doctor, I need to go pay $40,000 a year.
$40,000 to get through the, you know, the all the accreditation, all that kind of stuff. I mean, these guys that get their butt, hey, look, the work that they do is legitimate. I'm looking to research in a master's degree and a doctor's degree. The credit hours they got to take, the workload that they have to take matches up. Okay? But you went to a Bible college to learn the Word of God and you want to be called doctor. That's kind of a worldly term, to be honest with you. It's foolishness. They love their chief seats in the marketplace. We're watching on YouTube some preacher, and my wife said, man, he's got more people on his platform than he ever used to have. I'm like, yeah, I noticed. I mean, they're all lined up on the platform, and they're sitting here while the man of God is preaching the Word of God, and all the peons are in the pews, you know, and they're sitting there, they're like, hey, look, God said, watch out for them. When they put the preacher strut on, watch out for them. Why? Because they love the attention. They love the recognition. Spiritual leadership is not about you. Jesus said, who would be the chief among you? Let him be your servant. You say, what are you talking about this preacher for? We're not called to preach. I know, but every one of you ought to be a spiritual leader. Every one of you ought to look at your children, if you have children, and say, how am I leading my kids? If you're married, how am I leading my wife and leading my home? If you're a Christian and you're in a lost world around lost coworkers, what kind of a spiritual leader are you being on the job? It makes a difference what kind of leader you are. And he said, watch out for the wrong kind of leaders. I pray to God, God raises up a bunch of leaders around here. And I pray God raises them up. Because we're not doing power struggles. Amen. I mean, we don't negotiate and have peace talks and sit around the table and say, well, let's work this out. Let's discuss. If you don't stop it, I'm going to sanction you. A bunch of foolishness. If God raises up the right kind of leaders, we can get a job done. And it's not my position, my title, my status, my recognition, you know, what you're going to call me, what my name is, and what authority and power I have. That ain't the right kind of leader. Jesus Christ said, watch out for the wrong kind of leaders. For a pretense, hey, brother, would you pray for us? Look, if I call on you to pray for us and we're dismissing, don't make it 20 minutes. I took too much time already, and you know that. Amen. I sat at a dinner table one time with a preacher, and he asked a younger preacher to pray, and the guy prayed over the meal, and he was definitely trying to impress the older preacher. And the older preacher started hearing noise, and look up, the older preacher started eating. He said, amen. He said, good night, man. The next time I ask you to pray, just bless the food. I'm dying of hunger over here. Watch out what kind of leadership you got. Don't be pretentious. Don't be showy. Make sure that you're the kind of leader that cares about those people around you that need some help from God. Your children need some help from God. Your wife needs some help from God. Your coworkers need some help from God. Be a humble leader who loves the Lord, is willing to serve other people, and will stand strong on truth, and will speak out and be alone if you have to be. Because a leader is lonely. Deal with it. You know what the problem is? The problem is we don't like to be alone. You don't like to stand out unless you're being recognized and honored, do you? Be honest, do you? That's one thing when they're honoring us and recognizing us. It's a whole other thing when they're making fun of us. But a leader doesn't get caught up in what everybody else is saying or doing, nor does he care. He goes where he's got to go because he knows God and he's heard from God and he's heading where God wants him to head. And that's it. And he's not dangerous to the people that follow him or the people that need him. He's not dangerous to them. He's not manipulating them. He's not for a pretense showing off in front of them. There's no show. There's no put on. There's no pretend. Amen. I've never tried to get the perfect strut around you. I don't want you to look at me like I'm perfect because when you see my faults, you'll attack me. Amen. But if you come to me and say, well, you this, that, and the other, yeah, I told you already. Amen. Ain't no shock. I mean, it just takes all the fun out of it, doesn't it? Amen. Not here to manipulate, not here to pressure, not here to be worshipped. I'm here to serve. What are you here for? I'm here to hear from God. And I ask God to speak to me and then help me speak to you. Because that's the right kind of leadership. The last thing I want you to notice is in verses 41 through 44. We need to hear from God in our giving. Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Now you'll watch this. There were some common men here that were rich. Many that were rich cast in much. Now, there's no problem with that.
Don't criticize. You're just jealous, and it shows, and it just makes you look stupid. Amen, 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 amen. That's very good preaching. Thank you. I appreciate that support. Gets me fired up. And many that were rich cast in much, and there came a certain poor widow. Now there's a woman here who's a common woman, but she's poor. And she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast in the treasury. For all they did cast into their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Something that we got messed up in our society is the matter of giving. It's a mess. We got it all backwards. I've mentioned taxes more than once, and I'm not going to get on that this morning, but I'll be honest with you, I think what would be fair is a flat rate for everybody, no matter how much you make. We got it all backwards. And we feel like we should get a refund if we're poor, and those rich people, this, that. Hey, if it wasn't for the rich people, you wouldn't have a job. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ did not attack the rich people that were given. He was watching. And he said, they got a lot, they gave a lot. But then somebody comes by who's broke. And she took her two mites, threw them in that box, she headed out the door, and the Lord said, wow. I had some verses to turn to. I'm not going to. This is what I want to say. A lot of times we get the attitude like, well, if I had it, I would give. Well, I'm broke, and you know, there's other people that have money, and we're really strapped financially, and we can't, and therefore I wish I could give. When Jesus stood there and saw this woman come by that didn't make any excuses, she took what she had left. She just heard from Jesus. And she said, man, I just heard from Jesus, and this is all I got. In it goes. You know where she gave from? She gave from her heart. And she gave everything she had left to the Lord. And the Lord said, now that woman just gave more than everybody here. You know what giving ought to be? It ought to be from our heart. I have never preached at you that you have to give 10% of your income, have I? Have I ever said, if you don't give 10%, you're a God robber? I've heard all that preaching. I've heard that preaching. You just held God up. You put a gun in God's face. You got God's money in your pocket. Yeah, actually, God's money just paid my mortgage. It's due on the first. Yeah, God's money just bought groceries yesterday. Stacked the fridge and stacked the cabinet and praise Jesus. Amen. I got God's money in my pocket. I got God's money in my bank account. And some of God's money's in the offering box. See, what I'm telling you is it's all God's. She's God's. He gave her to me. Those poor little girls, they're God's. He gave them to me. That house, God gave me. That car, God gave me. This clothes on my back, God gave them to me. It's all His. And I'm so thankful to Him for what He's given me. So you know what I want to do? I may not have much. I may not be able to give much. But I'll give what I can. Exacting God, 10% of my net or my gross. We'll go with net. That's a bunch of foolishness, folks, and the heart's wrong. If you just say, God, how do you want me to give? You know what I've found every year? When I get my statement from Brother Rob and then I figure out what I've given elsewhere and I add it up, my number's way over 10%. God has not failed me yet. God's been good to me. And so when I give, I don't give begrudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. I give with joy. I like dropping my money in the box. I've had people say, well, brother, aren't you a pastor and the priest didn't have to tithe? Hey, by the way, the priest paid tithe in Abraham when Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. So the Levite priesthood did pay tithe, God said. I don't know. I have no idea. Well, since you're supported by the work and your life is the work, and are you supposed to have to, you know, I have no idea. I don't even care. I'm not even going to study it. Because the devil will tempt me. He used the scripture to tempt Jesus, didn't he? I'm just going to give. It's more blessed to give than receive. I like it when people give to me, amen? Don't you be honest. Don't look at me like that. Oh, yeah, some of you will be shaking my hand on the way out seeing if there's a $20 bill in there. I like to get. It's a blessing. You know what always blesses my heart more? When I give. More blessed to give than to receive. I don't ever want this church to become a church that's pressured by the preacher. Give. Time. We got to get a building. We got to put in a parking lot. We got to go. Always a new project. Always more pressure. Back it off a little bit, preacher. And just give them the book. Jesus saw the rich casting in much. And they ought to. God gave them much. He saw a little poor woman coming by and saying, I don't know where dinner's coming from, but I heard from Jesus. Jesus said she gave more than all of them. Part of why I don't like counting money, I never have one time counted an offering in this church. Never one time. I've never looked at who's on the giving list and how much they gave. I don't know how much you make. Some of you may be the biggest givers here, and your denomination number may be pretty small. But Jesus saw it. And Jesus said, now that's giving. You know what he said he'll do? He said he'll make all grace abound towards you, so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. It works like this. You pull it out over here because you love the Lord, not because he said 10%. And you put it in. And you're on your way home, and you put your hands in your pocket to grab your keys, and you're like, what's that? And you pull out, where'd that come from? And you, I'll give. And you go over here to get your bifocals. No, where'd that come from? You see, that's given from the heart, and God said he'll make you abound. It works. I am not a prosperity gospel preacher. You put a check for $1,000 in there, I'm not telling you God will give you $10,000. I got no idea. I know he's done it for me. He's never let me go. He's never let me starve. He's taken good care of me. But I don't give because I have to, or because the preacher's looking, or because of 10%. I give because I want to. I'm thankful my dad taught me as a little boy when he gave me my $1 allowance every week after he worked me like a stinking slave. It's unbelievable. He'd say, now 10% of that at least goes to God. And he taught me quick to give 25%. Even as a little boy, God always blessed me. I think he's blessed me more sometimes as a little boy than when I get older and I'm doing the bills, you know. I want to give from the heart. Now here's what I'm saying, church. I want us to hear from God, and I want us as a church to give from the heart. It's an amazing thing when we all get to pool our money together and we get to vote in a budget. We get to try to pray and do something with this, not only locally, but on foreign mission fields and around the world. You know what's happened this year? We spent $1,000 buying that machine downstairs and all that stuff. And before we've even had a chance to fire it up yet, which I'm going to get the contract signed this week, but before we've even had a chance to fire it up yet, God has blessed us. All we put out is $1,000, that's all. And we're going to start printing gospel tracts and shipping them overseas. The people that can never give back to us. And the goal that we set by the end of the year, we had a goal that we wanted to hit by the end of 2014. And it looks like we'll have it hit in the next month or so. Now that's God. Because the more that we give, the more God will give back to us. And we give, and we give, and we give. But it's got to be from here because we heard from him. Have you heard from the Lord in the scriptures? Have you heard from the Lord in your leadership? Have you heard from the Lord in your wallet? Let's stand to your feet, if you would, please, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. It all boils down to what the Lord said to that scribe last week. The great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second's like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Friends, if we love God like we should, then we'll be hearing from Him. I want to give you an invitation to come forward this morning and just get down on your knees and say, Lord, it's been a long time since I've really heard from You. It's been a long time since in my Bible reading You've spoken to me. It's been a long time since, you know, I've noticed You using me and people that I'm influential around and others around me. I want You to use me as a leader. Lord, it's been a long time since I've really heard from You in my finances. And I want to just follow You. I want to serve You. I want to hear from You. Why don't you get down here this morning and then leave here with your ears open, waiting to hear from God this week. Father, we ask You to bless the invitation now. Speak to Your people. Help them to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.